We're going to see something that Jesus said and then something that he modeled and that he lived out an instruction to us as far as not living in fear, but living in faith. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Tell your neighbor, don't let it. Now, this seems like a pretty amazing admonition from Jesus, because I don't know about you, but when my heart is troubled and my heart is afraid, it seems as though there's nothing you can do about it. It seems as though it just kind of happens to you. But what Jesus is making clear is that if our heart is troubled, if our heart is afraid, it's because we allowed it to happen. We have an ability to not allow that to happen. You see, there are things that can happen around us. There are things that we see, but it doesn't have to come into our heart. If you think about when David came to deliver food to his brothers in 1 Samuel 17, all those that heard Goliath were afraid, and the fear had gripped their hearts. But yet there was one named David, even though he was young, he was not afraid. Tell your neighbor, don't let it. So it is a command. It means that this is possible. It means that we can live every day of our life without fear and without worry affecting our heart. Now, wherever there's fear, in a sense, fear is what we're seeing and what we think is going to happen to us. And worry many times has to do with the future, about what, based on what we're seeing, and we begin to play the DVD out for the next few weeks and few months, and you begin to see yourself in a coffin and losing your job and all these things. Worry. And so it is not simply ignoring fear and resisting it, but it is replacing it with something else. And we're going to see in an encounter that someone had with Jesus, he told them, "Look, don't be afraid," but he told them what to do. Turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter. And we have the Gospels, and we have these accounts where Jesus interacted with people. And it's so important for us to look at these, because we find ourselves in their situation. We find ourselves facing some of the same things. So in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, it says, "Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue," so a Jewish leader, a learned man, a leader in the community, he was distinguished, people looked up to him. And so this man named Jairus came and fell at the feet of Jesus, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Now, how many of us realize that the things that many times affect our heart more than anything else are our family, or the people that we love the most, the people that we love the dearest? And so here's a father, he only has one daughter, and his daughter, it seems as though, is at the point of death, that he is going to lose her at this young, young age of 12 years old. And so he comes to Jesus. Tell your neighbor, that's a wise move. He comes to the author of life. He comes to the healer. He comes to the one who can make all things right. And so as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And so while he was on his way to Jairus' house, this is where we have the encounter of the woman with the issue of blood. And she had said in her heart, "If I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." And so she did, and she came, and she touched his garment, and she was made healed. She had an encounter with Jesus. And so while this is happening, let's pick up the story back with Jairus in verse 49. "So while Jesus was still speaking," and who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the woman with the issue of blood. We don't know her name. someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. Do not bother the teacher anymore. How many of you ever faced a situation where it was bad and then it got worse? Have you ever faced a situation where it seems as though you are even looking to God and it was bad and then it got worse? Well, this is about as worse as it can get, right? In fact, the person who was the messenger not only gave a message, but then they gave advice, didn't they? Your daughter is dead, therefore, don't bother the master anymore. Aren't you glad that when we bring our problems to Jesus, it is not a bother to him? I don't know about you, but there are people that have busy schedules and they're doing things, and when you come to them, they roll their eyes. What do you want? Again, right? They don't pick up your phone. I had an urgent matter yesterday, and I was calling this person, and it's annoying because they don't just not answer the phone. They hit busy. Too busy for me, right? Jesus never does that. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Now, verse 50, it says, hearing this, so before Jairus could say anything, Jesus jumped in on the situation. So remember, Jesus is already with him. He has already said, yes, I'm already coming to your house to make things right. What you wanted me to do for your daughter, it is within my power and it is my will to do so. And so he's on his way to do that. Then Jesus, when he heard this, your daughter is dead, don't bother the master. He said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Say, don't be afraid, only believe. Now, aren't you glad he didn't give him 10 things to do? He gave him one thing not to do, and he gave him one thing to do. So something to avoid and something to continue in or to start. He says, don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. Notice Jesus did not say, hey, Jairus, she'll be healed. He did not say, hey, Jairus, I've got this. I'm Jesus. No, he needed him to stay hooked up with him. It's a little bit like the movies, you know, when the cop, his partner gets shot, and it looks like it's in a bad spot right in his heart, and he's holding on to him. Johnny, stay with me, Johnny. Johnny, stay with me. Well, that really doesn't help someone's heart from not exploding, but Johnny, stay with me. And really, that's what Jesus was saying. Jairus, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't be afraid, only believe. Now, what brought Jairus to Jesus was faith. It was trust in the master. It was trust in his character. It was trust in his ability. But now when things got worse, he had an opportunity to stop believing. And Jesus is saying, Jairus, I need you to keep believing as you have. What brought you to this place, keep doing that. Do not be afraid. Only believe. And when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him. Isn't it interesting? They went from wailing to laughter in one verse. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Don't be afraid, only believe. You see, these decisions are vital in our life as we walk with Jesus, as we walk with the difficulties and the trials that we will go through in this life. What is our posture? What is it that God is asking from us? Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it get to that point. Only believe. You see, what that tells us is that fear and faith are choices. They are choices of the heart. We make a decision to believe, or we make a decision to be in fear. And really, in a sense, fear is the evil, wicked stepson or stepbrother of fear. All right? Faith is, I don't see it, I haven't experienced it yet, but I know what God says, and I believe that is the future that I'm going to experience because that is what God has promised me. And I believe that it's settled in my heart, and I'll go ahead and sing and laugh and be happy today in faith. Fear is the exact opposite. It hasn't happened yet. You haven't lost your job, but you read the newspaper. You got the story. You heard the rumor. And what happens? You believe about something that you have not yet seen, but you believe it to the point that it affects your emotions. It keeps you up at night. You tell other people about it. You verbalize it. It causes high blood pressure, your heart to race. Well, has it happened? No, but I believe it will happen. It's called fear. And so both of those are choices that our heart makes. And so faith, when Jesus says to Jairus, only believe, faith is the doorway into our life that allows God to work. And I use that word on purpose, allow. God does not do in our life what he wants to do, but he does what we allow him to do. What's the Lord's prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That's my life, on earth, as it is in heaven. You see, we wouldn't pray that prayer if the will of God was automatically happening. How many of you prayed this morning for the sun to rise? How many of you prayed, oh God, I thank you that there'll be gravity that will work today. And as I step down these steps, God, that I won't fly into the air like a balloon. No. There are certain things in life that they just happen automatically. And we can expect that, and those are the laws of nature that God has set forth in his world. And so we know about those things, and I'm so glad. But the will of God happens in our life by human involvement. Remember, Gabriel came to Mary, and he begins to explain. So Gabriel is a messenger from God. God is speaking to Mary through this angel. It begins to say that you're going to have a son. You're going to name his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. And so he begins to explain this, and she says, well, how is this going to happen? I don't know a man. I'm unmarried. I've never been with a man. And everything I know tells me that's how you're born. He said, no, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And then she says this, let it be unto me as you have said. Notice the angel did not come to Mary and say, hey, Mary, just wanted you to know, you won't believe it, you're pregnant. While you were sleeping, God just did it. Did God do it? Oh, of course he did. He made that pregnancy. Jesus was born from above. But when did it happen? When Mary heard what God said, believed it in her heart, and said, sign me up. Yes. Amen. And who knows, if she wouldn't have said yes, then we might have been, you know, praying to the, you know, Mother Sarah or Mother Elizabeth or somebody else. God chose her. He sovereignly wanted to do something. He had a desire. He had a will, but she had to participate in that will. Faith comes by hearing. She heard something, and it gripped her heart, and she said, yes. Let it be unto me as you have said. And so faith expresses the will of God and says, God, I believe you. Now, when we are looking to God and we are facing trouble, we have to realize that we have a choice. Now, what is it when Jesus says, only believe, what is it that we are going to believe? Now, in this instance, we see that it is believing in who Jesus is, what he said, because in that account, he already said, I will come and I'll heal your daughter. So he had already spoken something. There was already a promise on the table. There was something where the will of God was already made clear about. And so we believe in his character and we believe in what he said. And don't you know that here on the earth that what someone says is only as good as their character, right? There are certain people that say things to us and we have the faith of Thomas. I'll believe that when I see it. I will not use any faith because I don't trust in their character. But you and I can trust in the character of God. And I want to encourage you, don't just trust in a saying, in a tradition. Oh, it'll all work out. It will all work out. Where is that in the Bible? That's not a scripture. It will all work out. No, you have to, I love what Brother Hagin said, and that is, whatever you're facing, whatever the problem it is that is in your life, find out what God has said about your situation. Find out what God has said about your situation. This morning we prayed for folks and where they felt like, you know, there's this habitual sin, this thing that's kind of, I do this. Well, what does God say about that? Well, God says, the Word of God says, sin has no dominion over me. Amen. And so when you think about picking up that dacha and that cigarette, and as you're bringing it to your lips, before it hits your lips, say it out loud. Sin, cigarette, you have no dominion over me. You have no dominion over me. Your power is broken in my life. In Jesus' name. Yeah, say something out loud. Say something out loud. Amen. Whenever I usually say this with men, is that, you know, a lot of the advertising of our day, and I don't know why, but if they're advertising, you know, a shock absorber or a tire to a man, they don't just put a tire on a billboard because it's like, okay, it's a tire. No, they get a woman in a bikini and she's got a tire. And so they know that the bikini gets my attention, and what is she? She's holding the tire, right? But I say out loud, when I see these kinds of advertisements, when I see something like that, I say out loud, not for the whole world to say, but so that I can hear it, because I need to hear it, is I say, that is not my wife. That's not mine. Because my eyes and my body, they don't know who's mine and who's not mine. Tire, bikini, yes please, both. So check, yes please, right? Now you've got to say what God says about your situation. And faith, when we look in the Bible, faith always has a voice. Well, Pastor, my faith is more of a silent faith. It's more of a private faith. Yes, and yours is a very ineffective faith. It will not work. If Goliath is coming, you better say something. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, you, not your pastor, not the prophet, not the guy on TV, not the guy on Facebook, you speak to your mountain, and it will hear you, and it will be cast into the sea. Ask yourself today, ask yourself this question, what have you said to your mountain? What has your mountain heard you say? For some of you, what your mountain has heard you say is, that's a big mountain. Wow, I don't think we'll ever get over that mountain. That mountain's been there for 40 years. No, no, no. You've got to say what God says. I am the free. I am the healed. I am delivered. He is my supplier. Today, right now, I don't have a job, but the Bible says that I can put my hand to something and he'll prosper. So, Father, I thank you that I am putting my hand to something. You created work. It is a good thing. Amen. And so say what God says. Build your heart and let it be filled only with what God has said. Now, both fear and faith, when they are fully grown in their mature states, both of them affect your emotions. Your emotions. And emotions are not evil. Emotions have been given to us by God. And I'm glad we have them. I'm glad we can sing and dance at weddings. Aren't you glad? I'm glad we can be sad and cry and grieve when we have a loss in our life. Emotions are a gift from God, but we have to realize that both faith and fear will affect and influence our emotions. And emotions are a very, very powerful thing in our life. And that's when, and many times emotions are when those things begin to grip our heart. And so, again, it hasn't happened yet, but fear instructs you and it helps you when it's affected your emotions, is you go ahead and cry now. You worry, you fret. You're watching the DVD in your mind. Nothing has happened, but you are expecting it to happen. Have you ever been around something and someone and something bad happens and the first thing out of their mouth is, yeah, I knew it. I saw this one coming. Well, like Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. You were expecting it. And now that is what you receive. Real faith, again, influences our emotions. It hasn't happened yet, but you're happy, you're full of joy, there's laughter because of what you are expecting. I think when our daughter Jessica was about 3 or 4, we were living in Randburg in South Africa, and I remember putting her to bed at night, we're praying, and she would always sing a song, and then she started just laughing out loud, and she began to rejoice. And I said, Jessica, what is this? She goes, next week is my birthday, and my friends are coming over. And Haley always would plan these awesome parties, and I can't remember if it was polka dot party or pony party, or, you know, she said, then it's polka dot party. But her emotions are affecting her because she believes that what mom and dad said is coming to pass. And she's not waiting for that day to be happy. She's just going to go ahead and say, you know what? Let's just be happy now. Because when I think about it, when I think about his goodness and all he's done for me, I could dance, 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 dance all night. Huh? So faith says, let's go ahead and have the party early. Let's go ahead and shout at the walls of Jericho. They're still up, but let's just go ahead and have a time right now. That's what faith does, and it overflows. Amen? Faith is the substance, Hebrews 11:1 tells us. It's the substance of things hoped for. That is the things that are expected. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence. That word has the idea of a title deed. Something that tells you that it is true. Maybe some of you have received a notice, or you're aware of something. And so it tells you that this is coming. Maybe again, that's what a title deed for land is, right? You don't see the land. It is not the land, but it is evidence of the land. Amen? As long as three people don't have the same evidence as you. All right. So it is evidence of things that I can't see with my eyes, I can't touch them with my fingers, I can't smell them with my nose, I don't contact those things with the five senses, but faith says, I have it now. I have it now. And that's what Jesus was telling Jairus. Don't be afraid, only believe. All right? Now, as we go through this life, one of the challenges that we have is that our mind and our heart is going to gather other evidence. It is going to see things. It is going to hear things. It is going to be aware of things other than what God has said. And so, thank God for the five senses, and we realize, and when we're gathering this information, but that's where a lot of people get messed up, is that while faith is the evidence of things not seen, they are dominated by what they do see. Have you seen the price of copper lately? What is that? Those are things that I see. Yes, that doesn't sound good, and I hope the price of copper goes back up. But what does God say about your family? What does God say about your finances? What does God say about your future? And it is not dependent on the price of copper. Amen. There is other evidence. And so we have to allow faith in God's word to override and to overcome those things. Again, what happened with Jairus? There was evidence. There was another report. There were words that were spoken. Your daughter is dead. And isn't it amazing? Right as soon as that happens, Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. And I understand that on your way to victory, sometimes you will hear that things have gotten worse. What is God saying to you today? Don't be afraid. Only believe. Amen? Tell your neighbor, keep believing. So we don't have to give in to fear. And really what I would implore you today is, in your life, both faith and fear, be aware of what you are feeding. Be aware of what you are feeding. Here on our church property, from time to time, sometimes we have cats, sometimes we have dogs. And, anyway, we try to get them off dead or alive. Okay, and so, and I don't care which way they go. But anyway, actually preferably dead, because then they can't come back. But something we talk to the staff, and we have a canteen that our workers have, all of us have lunch every day, is we say, okay, let's make sure that without knowing it, that we're not feeding these animals scraps of enshima and meat and those things, right? Because if we keep feeding them, they're going to keep coming back, and they're going to get bigger. It's easier to get rid of a puppy than a big grown dog. And in your life, realize, have I been feeding fear from the time it was a small puppy? Yeah, I don't know about my job. Here you go, fear. How's that taste? Yeah. Well, I only have 5 years at this place. Everybody else has got 15, 20 years. Here you go. Here's another morsel. Here you go, fear. And it just keeps coming back, and it keeps growing in your life. No. What you need to do is feed your faith God's word. Feed your faith songs that will lift you up. Feed your faith and literally starve your fears to death. Don't give it attention. Don't give it information. Now, I'm not talking about not reading the newspaper or not going to the doctor. Yes, we gather information. But you know what? I'm not going to keep feeding that. You don't have to look at your bank statement 10 times a day. You got the information? Thank you. I realize, thank you. I was expecting, I'd like to see something else. But so you have that information. But don't keep it before your eyes. Get Philippians 4:19 before your eyes. But my God will supply all of my need. Go and read how he fed his children with manna from heaven every day. And we have a new and a better covenant. Hallelujah. And so feed your faith. Allow it to get strong. And raise it up to be a strong, strong part of your life. Amen? Do not feed fear. Now, when you're talking about feeding these things, you have to be careful about the people you have in your life. When Jesus walked into that daughter's room, what did he do? I need the parents. because I need you to believe. You have the authority over this house. I need your faith for this to work. Peter, James, and John. Thomas, you stay away, buddy. I love you, brother, but not today. You go ahead and stay. You do what you need to do. Judas, no thank you. You just carry the money. But I need my boys with me. I need my guys. I need my faith friends. All right? And so there are going to be people in your life that will either feed your faith or they will feed your fear. How many of you, there's some people who come to your mind right now. Now, again, I'm not talking about, you know, distancing yourself totally from those people, but just be cautious and be aware of what you share. I know my wife and I, we've been married 24 years, and if we're facing a challenge, there are certain people we do not call. We don't call because they have a PhD in worrying. They have multiple degrees, and all they're going to do is they're going to start feeding that fear in our life. Have you thought about this? Yeah, what about that Ebola in Zambia? Yeah, what's going on? And they just keep feeding and feeding and feeding, right? And so be aware of the people. Jesus was selective about the people that were there for the miracle. And so be as wise as Jesus, all right? Fear also is based on evidence, not the evidence of God's word, but it is the evidence of some things perhaps that you have seen. All right. Fear also takes believing for those things to come to pass. All right. Now, sometimes fear is a temptation when we are going on a new path of life. You're starting a job for the first day. It's a new course. These young married people, they get married in the first year, they're afraid. Well, you should be afraid, right? But whenever you do something for the first time, you have no evidence. You have no confidence in what I can do, all right? So you need to feed your heart in the beginning before you set out on a new journey and allow the faith and what God says to keep your heart and your mind established on Him. Fear not. Tell your neighbor, fear not. Only believe. So, Jairus took Jesus into a tough situation. He did not listen to what other people had to say. All right? Let's look at a couple of verses before we go. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Reasons why we don't have to be afraid. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Boy, I tell you what, there's been certain times in life where just having the right people in your car at the right time, boy, it dispels fear. Having the right person in your corner, oh, it's so wonderful because you know what they can do on your behalf. Well, guess what? God is with you. God is there. And he said, I am with you. Therefore, don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, 13. For I, the Lord your God, will uphold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Why don't we have to be afraid? Because God says, I will help you. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God is always giving us his report about what we are experiencing. Only believe. Only believe. What do we believe what God has said. I'm with you. I've redeemed you. I'm on your side. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13, and we'll close here. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same, everybody say the same Spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. Tell your neighbor, I spoke. See, your speaking reveals what's in your heart. Hang around someone long enough, and you will find out what they believe. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Romans 10 says, for with the heart, man believes. All right, it's our believer. And so our words are a window into that believing part of us. So Jesus admonishes us here, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, I didn't make this statement up, but I believe it is a wonderful thing to do in our life, is you will never, ever go wrong saying what God says about your situation. Now, sometimes people get funny and weird, and they say all kinds of silly things, but say what God says about your situation. At least once a week, probably 3 or 4 times a week, I will mutter or I will say Isaiah 54 over my kids. All of my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and their prosperity. I can't say that over your kids, but I say it over mine, because I can say what God says. Whether what I'm seeing in the natural with my eyes looks good or whether it doesn't look so good, I choose to believe and say, all of my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and prosperity. Amen. How can I say that? Because God said it. God said it. And all I'm doing is I'm aligning my believing and my speaking with what God says. With what God says. Build it into your heart, and when you are in the storm, speak the word. Don't stand on what other people have said. Don't stand on religious cliches. Well, God helps those who help themselves. That's a cliche. It's not the Bible. It's actually not even biblical. Stand on the word of God. Speak the word of God. Amen? And do not back off or get discouraged when things get worse. Because if you back off, all you're doing is, well, okay, I'm allowing what I see to control my life. No. Even if you get a report that it just got worse, continue to believe what God has said. Faith is the confidence that what we hope will actually happen. It gives us an assurance about the things we cannot see. You see, you can have an assurance that the end of the story of your life and the things that pertain to your life are what God says. Amen? And as you trust God and as you believe God, then what happens in your life is what the Bible says is we walk by faith. We live by faith. And then the steps and the decisions that I make in my life are steps towards God's expected end, not steps of doubt and sin and unbelief and in fear. But my heart is trusting God, and that affects my footsteps. It affects my life, and I begin to make decisions that are congruent with what God says. Amen? Say this with me. Say, fear not, only believe. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I trust God. Regardless of what I see, what I hear, His word is settled in heaven. It's settled in my heart. And that's what I'll have in my life. Amen. Just lift up your hands. Just rejoice right now. Father, we thank you right now for areas of our life. Lord, perhaps it seems like a battle. Perhaps it seems like, God, things are worse. But Father, today we receive what Jesus said to Jairus as what you're saying to us. And that is, we make a decision. We will not fear, but we choose to only believe you. Father, we believe your word, and it will come to pass in our life. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And just as we're praying, as we're looking to God right now, some of you in this place, you've been taking steps, you've been taking action, you've been planning based on fear, based on worry. And you need to get rid of those plans. You need to alter where you've been walking. And you need to set another course that comes from faith in God's word. Faith in his love for you, faith in his faith, in his character, in his faithfulness, but trusting him. And the Holy Spirit right now will begin to show you there's things in your life where you can adjust and move and turn and create another pathway, because you realize, you know what, honestly, the reason why I've been doing that, it's been totally based out of fear, and I'm changing that path in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us today. Thank you that we hear your voice, we heed your voice, and we follow it today. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this place, the greatest thing that you can believe is that Jesus loves you, that he has a plan for your life, that he came for you 2,000 years ago, that he died at Calvary, his blood was shed for you, and that his Father raised him from the dead. That is the greatest thing that you will ever believe. Now, friend, believing that is the pathway, it's the doorway to God's kingdom, to his family. And that is a belief that I can't do for you. Maybe you have loved ones who love Jesus, and they're more most likely praying for you, but you have to make a decision today. What do you believe about Jesus? Not that he's an insurance policy, not that he's someone you would call, you know, once every 10 years if you're in trouble, but do you call him Savior? Do you call him Lord? And if today you have not received him as your Savior and your Lord, today you can make a decision. You can believe in your heart what God has said. Jesus is Lord. Come home to him today. Come home from a place of frustration, of rebellion. Do not trust in your own works. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, but I was baptized as a baby. Well, your parents made a decision for you, but today you need to make a decision. Will you follow Jesus with your whole heart? Maybe you're like the prodigal son of old, and you're in a place, a land of rebellion and sin, and you realize, I need to come home. I need to come home to my Father. I need to give him my heart. Today you can make that choice. You can believe. And right now, if you're believing that, I want to pray with you. I'd like to stand with you. I want to see God's best come to pass in your life. And wherever you are right now, say, Pastor, you know what? I need to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I need to put my trust in him. I need to come home. Wherever you are, simply raise up your hand. Just wave it at me. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm giving my heart to Jesus right now. I'm trusting him with my whole life. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you over here, sir. Who else? Say, that's me. Just wave your hand at me. Over here, thank you. God bless you so much. Anybody else before we pray? Today is your day. Today is your day. Anybody else before we pray? Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to go very, very briefly, but let's honor what these people have done and the decision they've made today. You lifted up your hand, you say, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Right now, I'd ask you, grab your Bible, whatever you brought with you to church, and just come and meet me up front. I want to shake your hand. We're going to pray a prayer together, and your life is never, ever going to be the same. Let's give these folks a big hand clap as they're coming. Awesome. Fantastic. He's a good God. Thank you, young man. Thanks for coming. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Now, today, if I was going to give you this Bible as a gift, how would you get it? If I was going to give, right, you would just reach out and receive. And so faith does that with God. It says, God, I'm going to receive what you have freely given to me. And so I'd ask you just to lift up one of your hands and say this with me. Say, God, I believe you sent Jesus Christ for me. I receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. I turn away from every sin, from every wrong thing. Jesus, I follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you. I'm in your family. I belong to you. And when I die, I am going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Fantastic.